Welcome to the CurseCast. Today, we have a very special episode of an interview with three amazing people. Josh Martin, Jules Myers, and Chanel Wiese-Charles. And they're here to talk about Play Proud. Okay, so we're here to talk about Play Proud, but first and foremost, would y'all like to introduce yourselves?
Sure, yeah, I can hop in. Hey, everybody. My name is Jules Myers. I'm the Match Day Production and Fan Experience Manager for New Mexico United. This is my fourth season with the club, and I was a part of the Play Proud cohort as our club representative. So really lucky to be able to get in and take all the policy stuff and learn everything that the clubs needed to know, leaving from the whole participation. So yeah, that was my job within the cohort, and I'll let the rest introduce themselves.
I'm Josh. I'm a member of the Curse, and I was part of the Play Proud as a fan experience.
Hi, everybody. My name is Chanel Wiese-Charles, and during Play Proud, I was the executive director of the Somos Unidos Foundation. I was the third leg of the stool representing the community. Because in Play Proud, we were taking in a lot of the same content, and then we would break out into our different sections. So we had the club represented by Jules, the supporters represented by Josh, and then the community engagement represented by me at the time. I'm a forever fan of New Mexico United. I have since left the organization, but I do DEI work now at Presbyterian Healthcare Services. So I actually am continuing the DEI journey myself as well.
Nice. Now that we know who you are, let's talk Play Proud. For those who might be hearing about this for the first time, what is Play Proud?
Play Proud is a 100-hour DEI training that's given specifically to touch on LGBTQ issues in soccer. So Play Proud is the program, you could call it, but it's run by Common Goal. It's an invite only through Common Goal, and you'll have clubs from a bunch of different leagues take part in Play Proud every year. So we are a part of the 2023 cohort alongside another USL championship club. So that was Detroit City FC, one League One team, which was Union Omaha. We had two MLS teams, Seattle Sounders and Vancouver FC. And then we had two NWSL clubs, Gotham City and Kansas City Current. So what it was really was just getting everyone in a room from all across the North American soccer landscape just to talk about DEI issues and folks that are LGBTQ and what their experiences within soccer and how we can make sure that our clubs, our fan groups, and our community are representing the LGBTQ community in a way that is not only safe and best practices, but also in a way that's just genuine and is really listening to the community. So New Mexico United was offered a spot in the cohort, and it was really something that we were so excited to be a part of. I think our club specifically does a very good job being stewards in this space and making sure that LGBTQ folks feel safe with us, but we certainly had a lot to learn. And on the club side of things, I was able to take back a lot of really great things about our internal policies and how we communicate both internally and externally. And I can let Josh and Chanel talk about what their experience was on the fan group side and on the community side. But New Mexico United, it's our job to make sure that we're listening and that we are always there and available for our whole community. You know, we're called New Mexico United for a reason. The United part is really important to what we do. And this club is for every single New Mexican, not just the ones who would normally like soccer. So the LGBTQ community certainly fits in there. So we're just really showing up and doing our best and making sure that we are not only a participant, but a leader in the space. So it's something that we're really, really grateful to be a part of and something that we've continued to work on. The program runs for a year, so we finished out our year. That'll to say that the work is certainly not done and the work continues, and we've taken everything that we've learned at Play Proud and we're going to keep applying it to everything that we do, not just with LGBTQ folks, but with every marginalized group. So that's what I would say Play Proud is, but I'll let Chanel and Josh hop in on that as well.
The goal of Play Proud is to make the next World Cup in 2026, the most inclusive one yet. And that really resonated with me. I was at the ISC, which is Independent Supporters Council, and Joe White from Three Lions Pride in England gave a speech on their experience at the World Cup in Qatar and just the amount of abuse that people were going through and hate towards LGBT and people that just weren't the subscribed person and that people think you should be. I think what Play Proud is doing is really important and it's really valuable too.
Yeah, I'll add too that it's, you know, specifically this cohort of everyone that came together from the teams that Jules mentioned. So, you're automatically meeting people who do similar work to you, but have their own spin on it, or coming from their own distinct communities that have their own issues, either politically or socioeconomically. So you have a lot of things in common, and then you can kind of help each other navigate some of the things that might be, you know, specific to only a couple of the locations or a couple of the teams. You know, they're all on different journeys. Like, we were collaborating with Seattle Sounders, who's been around for over a decade. And, you know, as New Mexico United, at that time in year 3.5 to 4, it was really cool to see where the club could go with its community work, with its supporters work, and with, you know, the work that the club does and the way that it operates in general. It's really nice, not even because they're MLS, that kind of didn't matter. It was more that they had that legacy of doing community work for such a long time, and you could really see how it evolved over time. But in the same way, it felt really great that they were asking us questions, again, in a lower league, but also with such a new club, for us to be able to be subject matter experts, and then to eventually be able to host people from around the continent in New Mexico and expose them to our way of doing things, and to bring them to a New Mexico United game, which is a very unique experience. That is the beauty of bringing people together who have already raised their hand to say, I want to help make World Cup 2026 the most inclusive that it has ever been. And I'm going to learn from the other people that I'm with to see how to do that. And in the community sub-cohort in particular, I was really partnered up with people who did a lot more direct service through soccer than maybe we did with the academy at the foundation. There were people who were running full system youth soccer leagues, and there were people who were running the gold standard soccer league for youth that also had community support workers, aka like social workers, in the mix. And it was really fascinating to see how deep you could take community work using soccer as the vehicle for community change. So I guess I say that all to just emphasize that there's a lot of different aspects of the inclusion. It's how you do the soccer, and it's how you use soccer to do other really amazing things. And I think what Play Proud was focused on is not just those tactical pieces of it, like here's how you can make a policy and procedure that works for you, but we also spent a lot of time working on ourselves as leaders. And I think you can have all the tools in the toolbox, but at the end of the day, it's how you're empowered as an individual, and those tools actually end up giving you the confidence to use them and to feel like you're in partnership with these people that are miles and miles away. But you know, you have that support.
That's awesome. It's so important that we make sport inclusive. And as my next question is, how did you get involved with Play Proud, and what drew you to becoming involved with Play Proud?
So, Common Goal, the organization that Jules mentioned at the top of this episode, reached out through me and the foundation for our community work, understanding that the club and the supporters had all bought into the mission of being a community first club. And we had already, you know, maybe partnered on some things through Women in Soccer and just through being in the same space of doing community work through soccer. So I had been connected to the Common Goal leaders before, but they really asked us to be part of the initiative because of that legacy that the club, the supporters, and the foundation had built in such a short time, and the innovation of how we brought forth this inclusive environment within the stadium and outside the stadium. That was noted from the very beginning, that, not to brag, but that New Mexico United would be an asset to the cohort. They didn't come to us saying, you have a lot to learn, which of course we did and we still do, but they came to us to say, you have a lot to offer to this program. It was a huge honor to even be asked. And so from there, we just did our due diligence in, you know, determining what the resources it was going to take to pull this off. That's real resources like financial backing, and then also resources of the time and energy that it would take from actually executing upon our season. You know, we take Jules out of a match day or out of the week before match day, and the club is behind the eight ball. We take Josh out of his leadership duties, you know, in preparing for a game, and somebody else in the curse has to step up to take those things on. And that was a really real thing that we had to face because we're still scrappy, like across the board. The club is scrappy, the foundation is scrappy, and the curse is scrappy. So I was really proud of how everybody came together to answer that with a yes, and proud of this team for doing the advocacy that was needed to make sure that we could be part of something that we really hadn't heard of yet, because it, even Play Proud was so new to us.
Yeah, I'll go on to say, just built off of what Chanel has said already, when they initially approached us, we were asked, obviously, to be a part of the cohort and to take part in the first residency. So the 100 hours of training is split between two residencies, 150-hour at the beginning of the year and 150-hour a little bit later in the year. So initially, we were asked to join the cohort and to travel out to Seattle to be a part of the program. And Seattle Sounders were incredible hosts and welcomed us into their home to be a part of the first residency. And then later on, once we got home, Common Goal and Play Proud asked us if we would host the second residency, which was a bit of a daunting task. I will not lie about that. We're bringing in 35 to 40 individuals from all over the country, really not even just the country, but all across North America. And, you know, you want to give an incredible week for people to participate in. So not just, hey, we're going to be in this, you know, hotel ballroom and doing this, and then we're going to a game. It's, we want to make sure that we're taking you out to the best places to eat in New Mexico and giving you the best coffee options and giving you the best experience that you can have possible. So we were asked later to host the second round, and it was a huge undertaking, but something, when I look back at last year, as like my favorite thing that happened in 2023 with New Mexico United, we were able to bring 35, 40 individuals who had never been to Mexico before and really show them the beauty of our state and our people. And I think that was something that, when we think about the mission of New Mexico United, one of the things is to export New Mexico to the rest of the world. And that was an incredible opportunity for us to do exactly that. And I think we've made some not only lifelong friends and advocates and allies, but also some lifelong New Mexico United fans, which is pretty incredible. And we had a fun amount of crossover. Andrew Thomas was our goalkeeper at the end of the year, and he was on loan with us from Seattle Sounders, which is fun. So Seattle got to come to our home and see one of their players on our field and really see what it's like to be a player here as well. So when I look back at the whole experience, I just really, really like covet that week where we had everybody here. And yeah, it was incredible. They came out to our Hispanic Heritage Night and got to see Al Hurricane Jr. sing the national anthem, which I'm just like, that's just the most New Mexican thing ever. We went and played foot golf at Sandia, which was absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, just really made sure to highlight all of the incredible New Mexican businesses that are here. And I really do think that everybody went home with, you know, just a lot of love for a state that maybe they'd never even heard of before meeting us. So definitely, the partnership grew throughout this whole experience, and really honored for Common Goal and Play Proud to think of New Mexico as a host city. We're not Seattle. We're not a huge metropolitan city that has all these things that you think of. Like if you want to go on a vacation, Seattle's going to be at the top of your list. Maybe Albuquerque isn't at the top of some of those folks' lists. So I think it really was an opportunity to get some folks here who otherwise wouldn't have been here. And they know that they can come back anytime with welcome arms and come be a part of not just New Mexico United, but a part of the state as a whole.
So for me, I still remember I was at Sprouts getting stuff for dinner, and David Carl calls me up and he's like, hey, do you have some time? I want to talk to you about this program. And I guess, and I'm just like shopping, and he's explaining this Play Proud thing. It took me a little while to process what he was saying, but then I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds really cool. And I was so excited, honored to be chosen out of, how many fans does New Mexico United have? 14,000, 15,000 who regularly show up to games. But I got to be the one that got to represent the fan base for Play Proud. Going to Seattle was amazing. I had never been in a really big city, bigger than what I'm used to, so from Albuquerque. It felt so fancy. And then when we hosted Play Proud, I was worried like the whole time. I was like, we're not fancy. We're, Chanel is saying we're scrappy. And I think that's kind of how New Mexicans are. Sometimes we have to figure things out on the fly, but we're always so resourceful. also that week, we almost didn't get to have the match because the field had flooded. Luckily, we got the news to bring out a helicopter and to clear the water out using a helicopter, which is odd, but it worked. And that's just another sign of how we're resourceful. Being able to put just our inherent New Mexican resourcefulness into this larger program of Play Proud D&I work was cool to see how it unfolds in life situations.
Well, it certainly sounds like it was a great experience for everyone and a big learning opportunity, and great that we were able to host here. Our involvement in Play Proud started a year ago. That was when I believe you all went to Seattle. Do you have a favorite memory and a favorite thing that you learned through this process?
I'd say that my favorite memory and maybe like the favorite thing that I learned are maybe two separate things, but I want to say, you know, we were in Seattle, which is the home of David Estrada, right? And David Estrada, one of our retired players and now the head coach of our New Mexico United Academy team, he was a player at Seattle Sounders and deeply loved. Of course he was the first Mexican-American player to score a hat trick in the MLS. So being at the Seattle Sounders match and like seeing where David Estrada used to play, I think is something that I'll carry with me for a long time. And Chanel was wearing an Estrada jersey and people like recognize that, you know, and Estrada will go back to a Seattle Sounders match and people will be calling for him on the concourse. They recognize him. And just knowing that we are so lucky to have someone like David Estrada, who has this legacy that, you know, spans way outside of New Mexico United, that we were lucky enough to be the people that, you know, got to have him after Seattle, is just something that'll stick with me for a long time. The match itself was incredible. I'm a little bit of a match day production geek. That's my job for the clubs. Before the match kicked off, myself and one other individual were able to do like a behind the scenes tour of Seattle Sounders match day. And that was just such an incredible experience, just seeing how they put on their match day, just on a huge, huge level. And in some ways we're similar, right? Like they're also renting their facility. They play at a Lumen Field that is not a soccer specific stadium. So they're renting that facility and playing out of there. So seeing how they load in and out on game day was also interesting. And it also just gave this feeling. I think Chanel and I talked about it, you know, when we went to the Seattle Sounders, not just the match, but also the training facility, you know, where like we expect like Dom Perignon coming out of the walls and like all this crazy stuff. Like we expect it to be this unattainable goal for us to have. And then in reality, it was like, no, we see ourselves in this a bit, you know. It really gave us, I think, something to look at and be like, we can be like this club one day. And I think when we have our own facilities, it'll definitely be like that. But yeah, just seeing how other clubs operate and knowing that other clubs, even as big as Seattle Sounders, are facing some of the same issues as New Mexico United are on a week-to-week, day-to-day, game-day basis of not being in their own facility. You know, I think that was something that was really interesting. And I think what I took away specifically from the first residency itself, that we just did a lot of work on, you know, like privilege and what does that mean? And, you know, where do we all lie on the spectrum of privilege? And I think that work was some of the most interesting, but also some of the most impactful for me, just being in the room and looking around at all these individuals who don't necessarily feel like in a normal world, in a normal sports landscape, that this space belongs to you, to all of us, but it does. And yeah, just doing all of that work and really just getting to know everybody on an individual level was so amazing. And then by the time we were back for our second residency, you know, like everybody were fast friends and we all knew what was going on. We're all following each other's seasons throughout the year. Everybody's cheering each other on. And I think sometimes that can get lost if you're thinking about just working for a specific team. Like, you know, should I be really good friends with the folks at Detroit City? You know, maybe not. Like we could be playing for a cup against them, right? But every game that they were playing, I was rooting for them unless we were playing them. And even then, you know, I was just like, everybody wins throughout this. And I think that's something that's incredible now. You know, I wasn't a fan of Gotham City or Kansas City Current a year ago before I met all those folks there. And now I'm tuned into every game and cheering for them. And so I think it really just, it gave a lot of opportunity for teams to be connected and see each other and root for each other. It's not common that one team is cheering on another team, you know, and I think that's something that's just really invaluable, and something that I'm not sure I'll ever have from another experience is like leaving, being like deep friends with other people's clubs. So yeah, that's something that I would say I took away from that first section of the residency that, you know, I'll carry with me for a very long time.
To piggyback on what Jules said about making friends with other clubs, we have a history with one of the clubs as supporters, and we don't get along with their supporters, but I found them to be super nice. It totally changed my whole perspective on them. And so now, like, if people are talking about them in chat groups or whatever, I just tell them, I'm like, well, they're not all like that. And I just try to remind people that it's just a rivalry. It's not like personal or anything. But I also, through ISC, have met lots of supporters through lots of different clubs. Some of the people already knew who I was or knew who the curse was through their memberships also. It was fun to bring us all together under the topic of Play Proud versus our normal discussions over supporters groups. I think that was extremely valuable for the curse and all of supporters for New Mexico United.
I agree. And I think another special thing about sharing it with everyone, and maybe why we all became such good friends, is just because of how intimate it really was. And I think looking back, one of my favorite things about it was one of my least favorite things in real time, because a lot of this content and a lot of what we were learning, you know, looking at for ourselves was incredibly confronting, not just the privileged stuff that Jules was talking about, but that was certainly a huge element of it. But just having to reflect on your own leadership style and the way that you go through the world, having such skilled facilitators that tend to even take some of your first or second methods of getting something done away in an exercise to force you to think of a different way of doing things. I just thought it was incredibly powerful and severely impacted me. And, you know, I really needed a lot of time afterwards to think through and to journal. And, you know, and there were moments where I was like close to tears because I was either so frustrated or so regretful, because I could see how, you know, those first or second methods that they took away from me, which would have been maybe being dominant or maybe being ingratiating or being, you know, not all the way forthright about like an objective or whatever these ways are that as leaders we've learned from some bad cultures that we've kind of brought into this work. That's just what you naturally do, to really force us to slow down and to think deliberately through the impact that we're having on each other. And to me, I felt like I was really learning like how sweet the juice can be from a project or a process that actually takes a lot of time. And maybe in an older model would be too slow or inefficient, but it was really just reinforced if like you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And that was hard for me sometimes, I think, to wrap my head around because of some of the work cultures that I've kind of come up in. And even the positive New Mexico United culture is still a culture that moves incredibly fast. I mean, I think anybody that follows New Mexico United on social media or knows Peter Trevisani or Ron Patel or even David Weesey Carl, there is just the go button, and we jam the go button all the time. And I could see, you know, how that culture, without also implementing like these stop gaps or these check-in points, or even just giving Jules, Josh, and Chanel some tools to like check in on the process, you know, so that we're thinking of Pride Month in a way that is not just like, okay, let's copy and paste last year and then maybe add like one fun thing. It's like, okay, let's really assess what we did last year. Let's think about who was not at the table. Let's think about any of the signals that we may or may not be giving off, you know, to people that we're not even thinking about because they're not in the orbit. And that work is really challenging for people who like to spring into action, which I think the sports industry attracts those types of people. It's super important to have that skill set and to be taught how to go slower, and then how to also at the same time be absolutely resolute and quick and bold when it comes to stopping an injustice. So it was sort of that oscillating between the two types of work, the deliberation, the thoughtfulness, the inclusivity on purpose, and then the quick, bold, courageous moment. I feel like I was confronted with all of those throughout the 100 hours for sure. So that was like my favorite thing looking back, really tough for me personally in the moment. And then I also just want to add to something that is another favorite element of mine is that we have the heads of diversity, equity, and inclusion for both the MLS and the USL in the room during those 100 hours. And we were actually able to host the vice president of diversity, equity, and inclusion for the USL. His name is Dr. Christopher Busey in Albuquerque. And he was down there working on the tarp on the field. I just thought that was a really beautiful moment too, because he was fairly new to his role and hadn't had a lot of opportunity outside of the Tampa area to come to a match and to see the magic of what inclusive soccer looks like. So I was super proud that we were able to host him here in New Mexico as well.
Yeah, those all are really touching moments. And so we've talked about what Play Proud is, your experience with it. How has it impacted you and the sports culture that you have been a part of for the past year?
I'm happy to jump in there, at least on the club side. I came back with so much information for New Mexico United. You know, I think where we excel is like outward communication and you know, making sure that folks know that this game is for them, that New Mexico United is for them. But I think what kind of got lost in some of that was the groundwork for New Mexico United to do internally. So I came back with just so much information. And quite honestly, I was incredibly overwhelmed after our first day, just talking through all the club stuff that we needed to do. You know, I called David Weesey Carl, Vice President of Media Impact for New Mexico United, but also my boss. And I just kind of broke down like in tears. And, you know, I talked to him about, this is just, it's so much information. And I'm worried that maybe I'm not the person who should have taken this information in. And I'm worried that, you know, when I get back, I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to get this work done because, you know, as Chanel said earlier, everybody hits the go button. You know, it's not common to find a week where we have time to sit down and talk about something that isn't an upcoming match or an upcoming social media thing or an upcoming like partnership activation. You know, it's just, it's really not common to find that time. And I had all this information and I didn't know where to take it or who to give it to first, so that we made sure we weren't just sitting in the room and listening, but we're also taking that information and doing something meaningful with it for our club. And then not just for the club, but within the club, like doing that work for the rest of the community as well. And, you know, and I had this incredible conversation with David where he was like, you know, Jules, you're 100% the right person to be there. And that's why you're there and I'm not there. And, you know, when you get back, you will have support in this. And I think that's something that is just really valuable. And maybe a lot of people don't find when they come back from conferences like this. I think quite often the folks who get sent to a DEI conference for their workplace, whether it's in soccer or in healthcare or, you know, whatever it could be, are maybe not the people who are not like the big stakeholders within an organization. I think they're the people who are there doing the work, you know, like as quickly as they can and getting things out, but maybe not necessarily the people who like change the policy within a company. And to hear from my boss, but also, you know, a vice president and somebody who has a high seat at the table within New Mexico United that like, no, we're going to get this done. We're going to work on it was something that was just really helpful to me and put my mind at ease. And so over the last 6 months since the cohort has ended, David and I, as well as Linnea, the executive director of the Somos Unidos Foundation, have had really incredible and important conversations about, you know, taking in the work that I was part of and putting it down on paper within New Mexico United. And I feel more at ease than ever that work is going to happen. And it really colors the way that I think now. I think Chanel brought that up earlier. It was really confronting some of the stuff. And certainly my go-to within getting work done is just doing it on my own and doing it as quickly and as fast as possible, because I know that I can do it. But I was really confronted with my tendency to just get things done on my own and to not reach out for help, to not reach out to other people and listen to other ideas that could be coming from other places, because I just had this idea of this needs to get done at this date and I can do it. And coming back from Play Proud, I was taught like, hey, and like Chanel said earlier, like if you want to go far, go together. We were really able to sit down as a group with our, not only the club, but also the foundation and our fan groups to say like, what do you guys want to see out of Pride? Like, I'm not telling you what we're going to do out of Pride. Like, I want you to tell me what you guys think would be impactful. And so all these new ideas came to the forefront and we were able to execute them in this really incredible way. And I saw that work happen. And then it was like, hey, like this doesn't need to like stay in a bubble of Pride. Like, this is how we should be doing all of our community work. That to be said, I do think we're good at reaching out with other organizations and like doing things together. But when it comes down to like decision day or like, this is what's happening, it tends to fall on one person in the organization or maybe two. And Play Proud really taught me that if the work lies on one or two people, what happens when one or two of those people leave? Like, you don't have any continuity that's left there. So that really empowered me to be able to reach out to other folks within New Mexico United and the CURSE and our other supporters groups and the Somos Unidos Foundation to say, hey, like, this is who we are. This isn't who I am. This is who we are, right? We're all on the same page of that. Cool. So let's do the work together. And I think that's something that has really changed the framework of New Mexico United. We have our community department now, which is really cool and fun. And it makes sure that the work of DEI and inclusion and all of those good things belongs to everybody in our organization. But there are four individuals safeguarding that. And it makes it feel so much more doable when you can look around the room and see other people that you know, I can hand this off to you and it'll get done. So yeah, sorry, that was kind of a long tangent on it. But Play Proud has deeply changed the way that we do our work, and not just with Pride, but with every other, you know, impact night or every like heritage night or every heritage month. Any of those things now become a group effort, not a singular person effort. And I think that that's something that's really, really going to be a positive for not just our organization, but for the whole community as well. You know, you can tell when there's multiple people working on something and it's a group effort as opposed to just one person. So I think that's something that I hope never changes, and is something that just continues to grow for New Mexico United.
So for me, Play Proud really helped me like kind of figure out my leadership style. I've never been a confident public speaker, even doing this podcast. I'm like muddling my words and getting all nervous. But it was brought up in one of our group sessions, and someone told me that I'm actually, when I speak, people listen. And I'm like, but why? And then someone else told me like that quiet leadership is very valuable too. And I think that resonated with me the most is the quiet leadership part, because you don't have to like be upfront talking to people. You can just talk to people one-on-one and still be a leader. And Play Proud kind of gave me the tools to be able to connect more with people one-on-one. And so since then, I've been trying to like introduce myself to someone new every tailgate, see how they are, what brought them to the tailgate, and if they know about the CURSE or the Black Diamonds or Galactic Ambassadors, all the different supporters groups and things like that. And then also another thing I've tried to do is make sure that our chants in the supporter section aren't offensive. And if I hear something, I know that I can let Jules or David know right away and they can get that taken care of, because our supporters groups don't want to foster that kind of negative. We don't want that negativity in our supporters culture. We want to be known as welcoming and inclusive. And Play Proud really gave me the tools to just be able to step up that little bit extra to do more.
Yeah, obviously since the, you know, 6 months of Play Proud being over, I did leave the organization, which was a really tough choice. And I think the leaning back and watching other people lead and kind of just taking a step back in general and being a listener before a speaker, I don't want to say helped in that process, because ultimately, you know, being the first executive director, like there's a lot of things to consider with founder syndrome and with just trying to leave the party while you're having fun and thinking of my own career and, you know, a new adventure that I needed to go on. There was no way I was going to do that, you know, without leaving it in a good place. And so I think leaving room for this new community department to form, like as I was leaving, and really thinking about the pieces that needed to be in place. Because as you prepare to leave something like this, which was my baby for 3 years, like there are so many things that you want to ensure stay. But what I learned over that last couple of months is like the spirit of what you leave behind is more important than the actual mechanics of it. I had been spending, you know, because of the workload and because of being gone even for Play Proud, like there were times that we mentioned her before, Linnea Romero, had to step up and make decisions. And there was just kind of a point that was a blend of kind of learning this new leadership style through Play Proud and knowing that, like, okay, within maybe a year might be the time to go, that my leadership style with Linnea and with David Estrada was much more Socratic than it was like, I'm going to decide where we go. And I think that that really prepared them to step up. And one of the things I'm most proud of is that, like, when I left, there were no new hires. And so everyone just took a step up, you know, with the foundation. And I think that's the type of legacy that you favor more as you mature. You know, I'm so grateful that everything was able just to continue running and that like the schedule this year has some of those tenets that are really important to like the founding of the foundation, which is inclusivity, access, breaking down barriers, not contributing to a pay-to-play system in New Mexico. Those are always going to be there, but the community department at New Mexico United, which includes foundation staff as well, like have really taken it to a different level. And you can see the fingerprints of those people all over the work. And so I think it's just really humbling to have been in this now small sorority of people, myself and Linnea Romero, who have done the work and like still be on such great terms and still be such a huge fan of the club and of the foundation and of the supporters, like in general. I'm just really proud to be a fan now with this inclusive mindset. And I do take it upon myself to be someone that people can approach, you know, now in the stands or at the tailgate. And, you know, I may not be able to move super quickly, but I know who to call. And that, you know, somebody just put in the Nation, I think yesterday, just the intimacy of the club and the fan base and the supporters, like that is something that is magic about New Mexico United and I hope never goes away. And, you know, now I can just kind of be a steward of that by connecting people. And I find that I have a lot more capacity to bring people who are new fans into the game as I'm like out on a new adventure and meeting new people, bringing a bunch of my new coworkers to Pride on the Pitch. So I'll get to see that from a different lens. And yeah, I'm just super honored to have been part of the work and really, really loving watching the leadership, you know, of this city group, as we call it, and seeing all that's to come.
I wanted to thank you for taking the time to talk with me about Play Proud and just for all the work that you guys have done. I know from a personal level, Josh, you've been someone who has always made me feel welcomed in the supporters group, which was something that was really important to me. At this point, if there's anything else you guys would like to touch on?
Yeah, I want to say that I'm like so bummed that Play Proud is, you know, like over for us, but it's not really over. You know, we have this incredible group of people now and not just from this first cohort, but from the 2022 cohort as well, that are friends and resources and allies for us. And I'm just really excited to see, I believe in the next week or so, depending on when this is going out to the world, the 2024 cohort is going to be announced for Play Proud. And I know there's some really incredible clubs that are going to be a part of it. And you know, I was speaking with Chris Busey from the league that Chanel had mentioned earlier, the VP of DEI at USL. And we were just talking about what an incredible opportunity it is, not just for the clubs who are a part of it, but for the USL as a whole. By the end of this year, we're going to have 6 championship teams and 3 additional League One teams that have gone through this training. And I think it really just gives an incredible opportunity for for the league to get behind our work and to support us within all of this and really change soccer, not just in our own little individual cities or states, wherever we're hosting our games, but to really make a huge difference across the USL, across all of the US. And just really excited to see who it is next and get to know those folks too and have a little bit of a reunion and, you know, see the work continue to grow. It's a huge opportunity for every single person and every single club that gets to participate in Play Proud, and just looking forward to meeting our new friends and seeing. So definitely keep an eye out on social media from Common Goal to see who our next clubs are, and New Mexico United is going to be cheering all of those clubs on along the way.
I just wanted to say thank you again to our guests and to you for listening to this special episode of the Cursecast. Somos Unidos. We are united.